My wife is a real estate professional and loves to look at neighborhoods with sprawling mansions. Together, we talk about the kind of house we would like to design and build one day. We look at floor plans and consider the elevations drawn by award-winning architects and home builders. We let their designs inspire our dreams. Still, no matter how dreamy and delightful our earthly house might be, it will always be a starter home compared to the forever home Jesus is preparing for us in heaven, our eternal dwelling place with God. Consider heaven, the house of the Lord. This is what David imagined when he concluded the shepherd's psalm by saying, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's 1 Corinthians 2, 9. And this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. My name's Brian. Always glad to have you with us. In Psalm 23, King David wrote about his eternal dwelling place with God. Today, Ron gives you a glimpse, but only a glimpse, of what that home might be like. Let's listen closely as he wraps up his teaching series, Psalm 23 and Me, Living the Good Life with the Good Shepherd. Be sure to come see us at somethinggoodradio.org to listen to any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Now from Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he serves as lead pastor, here's Ron and part two of his message, My Forever Home.
Coach calls me up, as you can imagine, beside himself, because I was the starting shortstop and one of the pitchers in the rotation. He calls me up and he says, "Ron, are you planning to play baseball with us this summer?" I said, "Yes, I am, coach, but I can't practice on Sunday because that's when I'm in church." My response is a teenager. I loved baseball. I didn't love it more as a teenager than being in God's presence, in his house, with his people, and came that close to getting kicked off the team. I'm telling you that story to elevate myself. I look back and I think part of that was evidence of the transformation, the real transformation that Jesus Christ brought about in a young teenager's life. My desires and my priorities aligned with his. I don't tell you that story to make you feel guilty. What I want to encourage you to do is examine your own heart. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Ask yourself, what is the greatest delight of my soul? Is it to be in God's presence? Back in my growing up days, we had blue laws. Some of you may remember the blue laws. It shut down most businesses on Sundays. There weren't any activities on Sundays. We were still cultural in our Christianity, and Sunday was sacred time. All of that is gone today. So much else competing for our time and our attention and our priority. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to make some priority decisions. Is amusement and recreation, kids' sports, you name it, more important, more delightful to your soul than saying, "No, as for me and my house, we will be in church on Sunday"? Believe me, you can look at your coach and tell him, "I'll be there at the 1 o'clock game, but we're in church on Sunday." And if your kid or your grandkid is good enough, your coach will accommodate. If they're not, they probably need to find another sport or another activity. But that's just the reality. And today, I'm concerned. You know, do we reflect David's delight? The delight of his soul to be in the temple, to be in the Lord's presence. I'm not so sure today. Third thing that I wrote down as just personal inspiration to me was to discover your eternal dwelling place with God. You see, the last word in the psalm is the word forever. And it gives us an opportunity now to talk about our forever home, our eternal dwelling place with God. Certainly David had that in mind, or at least he gives us the opportunity to think about our forever home. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, he says. Now, the Bible gives us some glimpses into heaven, just glimpses into our eternal home, but it largely leaves us imagining what our eternal dwelling place will be like. Let's go from Psalm 23 to now to John chapter 14. I want to take you to the moments, those moments in the upper room, just hours before Jesus went to the cross. The disciples are a little anxious and unsettled at kind of what they're thinking might be happening. Jesus is talking about leaving them, but he comforts them with these words, John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house," there it is, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. In my Father's house," Jesus says, "are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, let me just review the background here. Jesus draws upon the imagery of a Galilean wedding. And back then, in that culture, when a man and a woman became betrothed, a little bit stronger of an agreement than an engagement, but during the betrothal period, the groom went back to his father's house. And he turned on HGTV and learned how to make over his father's house and add on some rooms, because one day he'd come back, marry his bride, and take her back to the father's house. That's where they would live. Catherine and I were in Israel not too long ago, and we extended into Jordan. And as we were driving around, some in the countryside, we noticed some unfinished second stories in the countryside there. We turned to our Jordanian guide and said, "Well, what's this all about?" He said, "Oh, that's for the next generation to build on when they get married. This has been part of the culture for 2,000 years. And our Jordanian guide said, "You know, the young people that are moving to the big cities like Amman, oh, they don't want to live in their parents' house, their father's house, but still many in the countryside, it's still very much a part of the tradition there." And this is what Jesus has in mind when he says, "In my Father's house are many, many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus, our heavenly groomsman, is coming back to get us and to take us to the Father's house. Now, the King James translation of the Bible says that Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And most of the newer translations, you know, use the phrase "many rooms." I would like to live in a mansion. So let's go with that for a little bit. You know, we love to drive around, Catherine and I do, just, you know, different neighborhoods, and some of them with sprawling mansions, and we dream about this and we dream about that. My wife is a real estate professional as well, so she kind of looks at it from that perspective. And sometimes we'll look at architectural magazines and, you know, look at this home builder and this architect, and we'll get ideas, and we get this long running list of, you know, home improvements that we'd like to make. And we dream. We dream about our dream house. We dream about our forever home. But you know what we've come to realize is that no matter how beautiful, no matter how delightful, no matter how incredible our earthly home might be, it is a starter home compared to the forever home that Jesus is preparing for us. And the Bible says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God is preparing for those who love him." And so when David said, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever," in one sense, he was at least giving us the opportunity to envision our forever home even through the glimpses that we find in Scripture. Now go with me in your mind to Revelation chapter 21 and 22, where the Apostle John, who was imprisoned on the island of Patmos, received the vision that we know as the revelation of Jesus Christ about the end of the age. In chapters 21 and 22 is the vision he received about the new heaven and the new earth, the beautiful place God is planning for his own glory, and the beautiful place Jesus is preparing for our eternal enjoyment, the new heaven, the new earth. The description of our eternal dwelling place, friends, in Revelation 21 and 22 is breathtaking. It has streets of gold. I say no more potholes in heaven, no more asphalt. It describes gates into all sides of the heavenly city, enormous gates that are carved out of a single pearl. The gemstones that make up the building materials in heaven. It's like a visit to Tiffany's in New York. Many of the gemstones we recognize, some of them we don't. You would expect heaven to have a few gemstones that we don't recognize. We'll figure it out when we get there. But heaven will be the most bedazzled city your eyes have ever seen. And a nanosecond after you arrive, you know what you'll say? I'm home. There's no place like my forever home. Oh, you can try to create it on this earth, and maybe God gives you the financial resources to have an incredible home on this planet, but it is a starter home. That's all it is, a starter home compared to the forever home that Jesus is preparing for us.
Dr. Ron Jones will be right back with the second half of today's message, My Forever Home. Visit somethinggoodradio.org anytime to ask our ministry team to pray for you or to order selected resources from our online store. I'm excited to tell you about one of our most popular resources, a book by Dr. Ron Jones that covers every book of the Bible. It's called The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, and both volumes are our gift to you when you make a donation of $50 or more to support the media ministry of Something Good. That's volumes 1 and 2 of Ron's book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. This is our way of saying thank you for your generous gift to support the ministry of Something Good Radio. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Now here's Ron with the rest of today's Something Good Radio message, My Forever Home.
You know, there in Revelation chapter 21, John begins this incredible description of our forever home with these words. He says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man." He goes on to say, "He will dwell with them and they will be with his people. And God himself will be with them as their God." That is one of the most profound, head-scratching verses I could probably read from the Bible today. The dwelling place of God is with man. Home sweet home for him is hanging out with us. I understand the other side of it. The dwelling place of man is with God. David said, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I bet you'd like that, David. So would I. Father's got a big, big house. He's got a great house. It is a forever home, like nothing you've seen on HGTV. It'll blow your mind away. Eye has not seen. You haven't even heard somebody describe in the fullness of detail what God has planned for us, this forever home. But that's not what John says. He says, the dwelling place of God is with man. As much as David desired to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, Our good shepherd desires to dwell with us exponentially more. So much so that even after everything went awry, in Genesis chapter 3, right there in the garden, he gives us a glimpse of his plan. And he sacrifices two animals, a blood sacrifice to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve, a foreshadowing of the gospel. And the whole story from Genesis to Revelation is God's story of redemption. At Christmas time, he came and he dwelled with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, walked this earth with his disciples. Then he was crucified, buried, rose from the dead, ascended to the Father. Why? So he could send the Holy Spirit, not to be with us, but to be in us. Do you see how God keeps moving closer and closer in proximity and intimacy with us? First it was, hey, join me in the tabernacle, then the temple. Now I'm going to come to you in Bethlehem, and then I'm going to come and live inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. But even that is not enough. He's preparing a place that gives him exquisite glory and for us eternal enjoyment. And he's going to send his son back one day, our heavenly groom, and say, come on, bride, bride of Christ, go back to my Father's house with me. Because the dwelling place of God is with man. Heaven is not heaven without God, and apparently without us either, the redeemed people of God. There was this deep, deep desire in David to be in the Lord's presence. The delight of his soul, more than any other delight, was to be in the temple, in the presence of God with God's people. And the thought of discovering all that God had planned for David in the house of the Lord forever, his forever place, I think was beyond what language allows him, even under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to communicate. Part of what I envision at this conclusion to Psalm 23 is that as the flock is coming home from the summer tablelands, getting back to the shepherd's homestead as fast as they could to escape the fall rains and the storms, they make their way up a hill, and they crest over that hill, and the flock, the sheep, catch a glimpse of the shepherd's homestead, and they pick up their pace. There's an extra skip in their step, because they know that the shepherd's homestead, it's home sweet home. That's where the greatest delight of their soul is. That's where they feel the safest, the most comfortable. That's where all their needs are met. Their home in the corrals and in the pastures there that they're so familiar with. And friends, as believers in Jesus Christ, as the sheep of his sheepfold, we have this homesickness in our heart, don't we, for heaven? At least it should be there. It should be there. My concern for a lot of us is we're so focused on earthly things, we're never homesick for heaven. We're so settled down in this life. Oh, this is my home. I got to build my forever home right here. Don't forget that in the Old Testament, Abraham pitched his tent, but he built his altar, not the other way around. He saw his tent, his earthly home, as temporary. I'm just going to pitch a tent right here. But he built his altar. And I think it's instructive for us today as believers in Jesus Christ to remember our forever home, no matter what you build, no matter what you live in this life, our forever home is in the Lord's house. It's an eternal dwelling place for God. And my prayer for myself, my prayer for us as a congregation is that we would get homesick for heaven. That we would say, home sweet home is in whatever taste of the presence of God I can get in this life, in my personal relationship with him, in my connection to a local church of other passionate followers of Jesus, But ultimately, home sweet home, and what my heart is homesick for, is my forever home. That home for which Jesus departed, and that home he is preparing for me, and that he promised to return and take me back to. That's what I'm looking forward to. You are too.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's Something Good radio message, My Forever Home. Dr. Ron Jones joins me now. Okay, Pastor, here we are at the end of another great teaching series. There's so much here in Psalm 23. It's only 6 verses, but it packs a lifetime's worth of punch. Any final thoughts you'd like to add about the series in general or today's message in particular?
I sure do, Brian. I want to go back and reiterate something I mentioned once or twice over the past few weeks. What David is talking about here in Psalm 23 can really be summed up in 4 words, each starting with the word P, so you can remember them: presence, provision, protection, and promises. David is thanking God for these 4 things in his life. And let me briefly take them one by one, starting with presence. Right out of the gate, David makes it clear that the Lord is with him. He's with David in the green pastures, by the still waters, even in the valley of the shadow of death. And because David knows God is always with him, he's not afraid to walk with his good shepherd, no matter where it is that God leads him. And then there's provision. God offers rest when David is weary. That's the reference to the green pastures. And it's not just rest, but also renewal of strength for what might come later. God gives David nourishment for both body and soul. He offers David comfort in the form of his rod and staff, tools that provide direction and discipline that benefit David greatly. And then in verse 5, we see the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which is perhaps our greatest provision. And it also leads to the third P, which is protection. One of the best examples of protection is this anointing of our heads with oil. The Lord protects our minds, transforms us so that we can know Him and His will better than we otherwise might. God protects David and, by extension, all of us in many ways, but the Holy Spirit living in us is by far the most powerful example of that protection. And then the word promises. In verse 6, David talks about the goodness and mercy of God, which is a promise for the present, but also the future. And then, of course, he believes with all his heart the promise of a future dwelling place for all eternity with his good shepherd. Brian, the great thing about all of this is that it leads us right back to the very first P, the Lord's presence. It's something of a circle that never ends. God doesn't merely provide for us or protect us from afar. He's right there with us in the thick of it. We're not alone. It really is a good life with the Good Shepherd, Brian. And when we think of God's presence being with us forever, it's not something that's coming to us at some point in the future. It's already started. He is with us now, right this moment. And for the rest of all eternity, there will never be a moment when He isn't.
That's Dr. Ron Jones with some final thoughts on his teaching series, Psalm 23 and Me, Living the Good Life with the Good Shepherd. Ron, before we say so long for today, tell us about your next series, which gets started tomorrow right here on Something Good Radio.
Well, Brian, for the past couple of days, I've been talking about our forever home, our eternal dwelling place with the Lord in heaven. And that's the perfect lead-in to my next series because it's all about what heaven will be like. The series is called Heaven, The Father's House, and My Eternal Home. And along the way, I'll answer some of the world's most popular questions about the afterlife. Is there life after death, for example? What will heaven be like? Are heaven and hell real places? I'll answer all of that and then some in this next series. And Brian, I'm really looking forward to doing a deep dive into what heaven is all about.
That series comes your way tomorrow when Dr. Ron Jones shares his message, 60 Seconds After We Die. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.